Oh, wait a minute, Igor. May I look at the bottle?
What for do you want to look?
Hey, watch, see if it's a vintage year. Is it? Yes.
Oh, that's a bad year. Bad year.
Perhaps this one's better for soft American.
No, that's a good year.
Now we will pour. You from your bottle, me from mine.
It's a democratic.
It's the Wine Crush, a show that's all about wine and the lifestyle it creates. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson and Michael Ambrose.
Sure, I'm scared of them. So are you. So is anybody with any sense.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the weekly show that's all about the grape, all about the glass, and all about the wonderful world of wine. Any questions, anything you even remotely thought you wanted to know about wine, Michael and I are here to be your guide through this very crazy, confusing world. Well, we have a fun show ahead of us today. Today, our theme is our continuing salute to white wines. Last week, we covered Chardonnay, we covered Pinot Grigio, we covered Riesling. This week, we will lead you down the primrose path that involves a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc, a little bit of Gewurztraminer, and of course, my recent favorite, the Chenin Blanc. Also today on the show, our food dude, Richard Hake from Robert Mondavi Winery will be joining us. We have winemaker Michael Honig of Honig Vineyard and Winery. He will join us to tell you why you should be drinking his wine. And of course, we'll have wine news you can use. And maybe our theme this week should be words that rhyme. It's rhyme time, Michael.
Laura, you're a poet and you don't even know it.
And of course, in this show, we will also have the most important piece, and that would be your calls and your emails. You can email us at info@winecrush.com, or you can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. And when you do call, a very handsome and sexy voice will tell you what you can do from there.
Would that be my voice?
What do you think, Michael?
Maybe not.
That's what we thought. All right. Now you know how to play along. The theme for today is White Wines, the sequel. And for all you red wine lovers, never fear. You shall not be left out of today's show. We will find some way to enlighten, if nothing else, at least amuse you.
That's right. And so we're talking today, Laura, about Sauvignon Blanc. We are also talking about Chenin Blanc and Gewurztraminer. And you said of the three, the Chenin Blanc was your favorite?
I've just been on a Chenin Blanc kick lately. Chenin Blanc, kind of an underused, overabused wine in today's times. Chenin Blanc, for the longest time, was kind of the poor little bastard stepchild of California. They were making 3-liter Chenin Blancs. Gallo used it as a workhorse.
Right.
And since then, it's kind of disappeared. But ultimately, Chenin Blanc can be seen at its finest in the region of Vouvray.
Right.
And in that area of the Loire Valley, the wine is exceptional. It has a little bit of lemon, has a little bit of rose petals to it, has a little bit of almond. It just kind of is a really good all-purpose cold wine. And summertime, you know, you talk about wine, some wines you like to drink warmer. Chenin Blanc, you can almost throw that thing in the freezer.
I'm so happy that you finally admitted that France is the greatest place in the world to grow grapes and wine and Chenin Blanc. The Loire Valley, that is in France, right?
Yes, for our listeners, we will, of course, have our producer replay that whole little part of my conversation, at which point you'll notice I did not say anything about France being the greatest place.
Oh, I see.
I just happen to be occasionally visiting. Uh-huh. I can't know what to pick fun at if I don't actually go touch on it occasionally.
But one of the things you said was, you were talking about Chenin Blanc and you said Vouvray. If a person's going to look for a Chenin Blanc in the grocery store, are they going to look for the words Chenin Blanc, or are they going to find it under Vouvray?
Well, simply because we are dealing with the French again, in no way, shape, or form is it ever going to say Chenin Blanc on the label. That would actually be clear and effective marketing, so why would they want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
The label is going to say Vouvray, V-O-U-V-R-A-Y. And some of these are done in the tall, skinny bottles, just like we talk about with Riesling and Gewurztraminer. And it really is worth a trip to a wine shop to try one just once.
Oh, you'll think they're good.
Yeah, you'll either fall in love with them or you'll say, nope, never more. But also, it's fun watching the new world of wine come onto the market and come into play? Because we've got winemakers and vineyard owners all over the countries finding the best place to grow the best varietals. And our friends in South Africa have always run amok with Chenin Blanc. In fact, down there, Chenin Blanc is known as Steen, S-T-E-E-N. So when you're at your mega marts and you're looking in your grocery stores and you come across a South African wine that says Steen on it, that is our beloved little Chenin Blanc. So give that a shot as well.
Excuse me, I have to take a phone call.
1-877-4-CRUSH-1. That's 1-877-427-8741.
Copernicus called, and you are not the center of the universe.
The Wine Crush.
From the Wine Line, we have this question.
I lived in California, just east of San Francisco, in the late 70s and early 80s, and Franzia Winery was not well known at that point, but they used to make some delicious sparkling wines that were flavored, like almond and a tangerine and whatnot. And I was just wondering, do they still produce those sparkling wines? And if so, where can they be found?
To the best of my knowledge, the sparkling line of Franzia, which is now, of course, we're talking about Bronco Wine Company.
Right.
They do not make those anymore. I know exactly what you're talking about. There were four different flavors associated with it, and they did fairly well for a while. Most of your local wineries, I don't know what part of the country you're living in now, but generally, every state has a winery. And what I have found around the country is your local wineries are the ones who will produce a lot of sparkling with the flavors in it. So I'd look close to home and see if someone around you didn't have something comparable.
And, you know, about that time that she's talking about, the 60s and the 70s, there was a lot of interest in flavored wines, you know, the apple wines and the strawberry wines and so forth. You just don't see them as much anymore.
You really don't. The only one, honestly, that comes to mind that's still doing flavored wines, there is a winery out of North Carolina called Duplin. And it is a huge, huge winery. It's just astounding the amount of wines they produce. But I know that they go through and they do several flavored wines.
Yeah, and you know what? There's one right outside of Atlanta, and you probably know the name of it, and I'm trying to...
Chateau Elan.
Chateau Elan. That's right. I've been there, and I've had some peach wine.
So, see, there you go. Just look around your local section in your wine marts, and chances are you'll be able to find your fruit wines.
Right.
We are fortunate enough to have our eyes and ears on the West Coast. Joining us today, we have Richard Hake. He is the chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery. Richard, welcome back to The Crush.
It's great to be back.
What's going on out in sunny California these days?
We're just busy here at the winery, continuing to honor and celebrate the life of Robert Mondavi. We just had a whole weekend open to the public to come in and join the Mondavi family to celebrate Mr. Mondavi's life. And it was a big party. Two days on Saturday and Sunday, filled with lots of people from all over California as well as around the world celebrating his life.
That's amazing. When you say open to the public, anyone could drive by, drive up, and be part of the celebration?
Absolutely, and it's such an international winery. We are the first stopping point for many visitors from outside the United States, and we had a lot of folks visiting the wine country for the first time who came upon this party not even knowing that we were having this event, and they really enjoyed themselves. People come upon free wine and food, and it really turns into a party.
So were you doing all the cooking?
We had a caterer come in because I was doing some cooking for a concert in the evening, so I had a little relief. I had help from a local caterer.
Now, as a chef, do you like that or do you dislike that?
On that day in particular, I was enjoying the support.
There you go.
They did some food. They did, once again, falling into the New Orleans theme that Mr. Mondavi wanted. They had muffin lettuce sandwiches, Cajun sliders. So it was a bit of a New Orleans-style party.
What exactly is a Cajun slider? Parts of my family is from New Orleans, so I'm definitely familiar with it, but I don't know what a Cajun slider is.
Well, you just take your normal slider, which is the play on the Crystal or White Castle, and they put a lot of Cajun spice with some caramelized onions and peppers on there. So it had a little heat to it.
It's like a miniature hamburger, right?
Yeah. Out here on the West Coast, they don't have places that sell sliders, so you'll go to some fine dining restaurants, and they'll have Kobe beef sliders and sell those for like $20 for a plate of three. So it seemed to be a popular item here in California, and the Cajun sliders were very popular.
Well, Richard is going to rejoin us later with a summer salad that will absolutely knock your socks off. If you aren't wearing any socks, please wear sunscreen, depending on the part of the country you are in right now.
Ow.
I think for a change, we are off to a good start. More of this fun, entertaining style when we return at the Wine Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Look, Steve. Isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not going to ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
All right, see the open man. Good pass.
That's listen
good.
Carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back. Right.
What do you hear?
Good deeds.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well, have two bananas. And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat ants?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And just reminding you that you really must be over 21 to visit our website. And of course, we are not talking your IQ points there. But yes, we do ask those of you who are drinking age to visit the site. Otherwise, what's the point? Today's theme is continuing on our tribute to white wine. Obviously, we are trying to teach people the ABC of wine, anything but Chardonnay. So, along those lines, we're going to talk about one of my favorite grapes, and I think one of the most diverse grapes on the planet, and that's Sauvignon Blanc.
Absolutely, you're right.
And I think whether you buy it from France, whether you get it from Italy, whether you get it from the United States, Australia, Alsace, you name it, you're going to find different types and different flavors in these bottles.
Yep. Let's talk about a couple of those regions and what you can expect. Say, for example, Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc. What would you describe a Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc to be?
Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc to me is what I consider the characteristic United States Sauvignon Blanc. You get grass, literally, like you're sitting there smelling your neighbor's grass having
green
been
mowed. Grass or hay. Yeah.
Yes. You get a lovely acidity, and it cuts through just about any food you want to pair it with.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the grass, you get the acidity, and sometimes we're not saying that this Sauvignon Blanc is ordinarily fruity, but you can get a little melon, you can get a little fig, and you can get a little green apple. It is truly what comes straight from earth to table, so to speak.
Yeah. And you mentioned a couple of other places, Sancerre, which is one of those places in France, again, that makes a really outstanding, nice, crisp, easy drinking Sauvignon Blanc. If you go a little bit further north and you get into Bordeaux and you drink the white Bordeaux, they are typically a mixture of Sauvignon Blanc with another grape called Semillon. They have more of an earth component to them, and I think the great classic match for that is the saffron that you get in bouillabaisse and white Bordeaux.
Michael, since we're talking about Sauvignon Blanc, this will be a perfect time to bring our guest on the show. Today we have Michael Honig. Michael Honig is the owner and proprietor of Honig Wines and Vineyards. And of course, Honig, we know, staked its hat and built his reputation on nothing else but Sauvignon Blanc.
One of the very best.
Hands down. Michael, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. How are you today?
I am absolutely lovely. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying a very smoggy day in Napa Valley because of all the fires that are occurring here in Northern California. Someone was laughing the other day about how the wines, or at least the Sauvignon Blancs this year, are really going to be Fumé Blanc.
Yeah. we were just talking about that, Michael, and I wanted to ask you, do you think any of that flavor is going to be imparted to the juice? Because you're going to have some dust on the skins, you know? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I don't think the whites would have any problems because we get them off the skin so quickly.
Right.
But the reds, we'll have to talk about after harvest.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
We'll call you back
in a year.
You know, at least where we are, I mean, we're not that near the epicenter of the fires. What we're seeing is in the haze in the sky. The smell really isn't there in terms of, at least in Napa where we are. So I'm not sure, though.
It's something to think about. See, look at that. We at the Wine Crush, we have even made you take pause.
I love good questions. I'm going to ask people about that one.
There you go. Go stump your friends and astound your neighbors. Well, Michael, right. The whole point of this is to tell us about you and about your winery. And I have to admit, I cheated a little bit and I'm looking at something, but I do want a full explanation at some point. Explain to me how you are the James Brown of the wine industry.
Well, that was a quote that came from a person I do business with a few years ago. Up till recently, when I've gotten married and had a baby, I spent almost the three and a half weeks a month traveling around the country. And I just am 24/7 at the family business. I was always really involved in all aspects of it and didn't really ever stop. And he's said one day, he said, you remind me of the James Brown. You like the James Brown of the wine business. So that kind of that little quote just stuck. But it's, I think it comes out of after 20-plus years of running my family's business, continuing every morning to get excited about going to work and wanting to put in as many hours as I possibly can doing something I love.
We are speaking with Michael Honig of Honig Wines. Michael, tell us about your wines.
We have focused on two varietals. The idea was there's some wineries that are very successful at being all things to all people, more of a shotgun approach. I decided years ago being a bullet and focusing was really where we were going to be successful. And what it allows us to do is put all of our energy into, in the case of Sauvignon Blanc, we have two. We have our Napa, which is a blend of our vineyard and a few of the vineyards that we work with, a few other families we work with in the valley. And that's kind of a lighter, crisper style of Sauvignon Blanc with very aromatic and aromas of more tropical nature, so peach and mango and kiwi and a little lemongrass, no oak in that wine. And then we have a more reserve style or single vineyard, which we refer to as the Rutherford, which is a Sauvignon Blanc just from our property and then made in a little different style, has a little bit of an oak characteristic. It's a portion's gone through malolactic, which sounds like a big mouthful of words. It's really taking one acid, that kind of bright acid we find in a tart green apple, and converting it to more of a milky acid. So the Rutherford tends to be a little richer and fuller in the palate and the mouth. And then on the Cabernet side, we have two Cabernets, a Napa, which, again, like the Napa Sauvignon Blanc, a Napa Cab that's a blend from our vineyard and a few growers. And then we have a single vineyard Cabernet from one of our growers named Bartolucci. And the Napa Cab has been very well received. I think a couple reasons. One is that we were considered a good value in the context of Napa and Rutherford, but also stylistically there's has been for the last few years a trend in Napa of these big over-the-top Cabernets with lots of alcohol, lots of oak, lots of tannins.
Right.
And our wine is really more elegant and supple. I'm sorry?
The Cabernets that beat you over the head that you need a chair and
right,
a whip.
Right, exactly. You have a few sips and you're done. And our Cabernet really lends itself to food or as an aperitif, and people really can enjoy it and finish the bottle. And again, it's something that's appealing where a lot of those other wines, you know, maybe are important and score well for some people. But again, the average consumer, I don't think, really appreciates, and they get what we're trying to do because, again, it tastes good.
For our listeners, if they want to know more about you and your wines, do you have a website?
Yeah, we have a very active website. My wife, Stephanie, writes a blog. There's all our little fun postcards that we've been doing for years and a number of other things on there. And it's real simple. It's Honig Wine, HONIG wine.com.
Hey, Michael, we're going to ask you to stay with us for a little bit. We have some other things we have to take care of right now. Coming up shortly in our Salute to Summer Salads Month, no chicken is safe, as our winery chef Richard Hake is going to offer up an easy-to-make salad featuring poulet, as the French like to say. Don't go away.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not going to ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college,
wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org. Let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Salagadoola, metchagaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. This is Michael Ambrose.
And I'm Laura Lawson.
Consider us your Rosetta Stone for all things wine. And for all of you scratching your heads wondering what is a Rosetta Stone.
The Rosetta Stone is a stone that was discovered in Egypt in 1799. And I think what is invaluable on it, it had three passages of writing on it that were all the same.
Right.
Now, what was cool is they were in three different languages. So they were written in hieroglyphics, it was written in Greek, and it was written in Latin. So when you had all three of them there together saying the same thing, we finally got to understand and read hieroglyphics. So there you go. All the worldly things you learn here on The Wine Crush.
That are totally useless.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Today's theme is white wine, ABC, anything but Chardonnay. We've covered Sauvignon Blanc. We talked Chenin Blanc a little bit. I think the last major player we've left out is Gewürztraminer.
That's right. And it's easy for you to say.
It's easy for me to say. It's not easy for me to spell. Those of you who want to see Gewürztraminer spell, go to our website. I'm not trying it on air. Gewürztraminer is a very versatile grape. I think a lot of times people relegate the poor baby to nothing but Thanksgiving dinner. And I think they're missing a great opportunity to try something that can be so diverse.
I agree. And, you know, as you're so fond of saying, it's in that tall, thin bottle. I think the best ones are from Alsace. They're just wonderful, just great flavors, nice and kind of sweet and a little bit of fruit there, but lots of cinnamon, lots of spice flavors.
What's interesting about Gewürztraminer, though, you mentioned one region. I don't think people realize Gewürztraminer is grown in Australia, Austria, California, Chile, Germany, Italy, New Zealand, Oregon, South Africa, and Washington State.
Yeah.
So we are surrounded by Gewürztraminer, and I really do think people ought to take the time to try them out. I think one of my favorites most lately has been those coming out of Oregon.
Really?
They aren't as heavy-bodied as what you see coming out of Germany. They tend to be a little lighter in mouthfeel. So you get them really cold, and they're really fun around 5:30, 6 o'clock for a sunset cruise or a sunset deck sipping, something like that.
We're California bound. We
California brown.
And now it's time to eat more chicken. That was a great ad campaign. I love those little cows all dressed up. Actually, we are rejoined by Robert Mondavi's chef, Richard Hake, who is going to use chicken to dress up a summer salad. Or that he's going to dress up a chicken, one of the two. Richard, what have you got on your plate today?
Well, I've got a tribute to the South, where I'm from Atlanta, and we've got a fried chicken salad.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and with a little green goddess dressing.
That sounds amazing. That's right up my alley.
The green goddess dressing was always a house dressing at my home in Atlanta.
The green goddess that I remember was in a bottle, and it tasted a little bit like, mayonnaise with some tarragon in it.
Well, you know, mayonnaise is the mother sauce of the South, so, you know, just add anything to it, and it's great on any type of food.
So is yours any different than the regular green goddess out of the bottle?
Well, I try to be a bit of a traditionalist, so I follow the classic recipe, and I don't think many people know that the classic recipe contains anchovies.
Oh, ooh. I love them.
Oh, I hate them.
That's good. More for me.
We have a love-hate relationship here.
Something new and different for here on The Crush.
Yeah, so don't let the anchovies intimidate. You can always leave them out of the recipe. And trust me, if you've got a favorite bottle of Green Goddess dressing, go buy that. You don't have to worry about making it. But there's a wonderful recipe that includes chicken tenders fried to perfection, and it makes a great meal.
Well, that sounds lovely. So we are looking at a fried chicken salad. So for those of us who like to pretend we're on a diet, we can go ahead, have the lettuce, throw fried chicken on top of it and dunk it in mayonnaise, and we're good to go. And we have been locale for the day.
Guilt-free.
Exactly. For those of you who would like to check out this recipe, go to the website, winecrush.com, and this will be posted along with, your questions, your comments. Feel free to throw those in while you're there, and you can do that at info@winecrush.com. Richard, looking at something like a fried chicken salad for the summertime, what would you pair with this particular dish?
I think I'd go with a Chardonnay.
Really? How about you, Laura? What would you go with?
If I can actually stomach to say this, I think I, too, would go with a Chardonnay for this recipe.
No kidding?
No kidding.
And you know what I'm going to say, right? Sauvignon Blanc.
Absolutely.
Yep. I have the benefit of looking at the recipe for the dressing and noticing that there's tarragon and parsley and vinegar and onions, and I'm thinking Sauvignon Blanc all the way.
I'm thinking a big oaky Chardonnay. But ultimately, whatever you are thinking out there, whether you want to follow mine and Richard's recommendation or go off on a tangent with Michael, white wines are definitely perfectly suited to this salad, and whether you want to use fried chicken tenders, if you want to grill them, anything can stand up to it.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Our loyal listeners all know that food and wine, although a big part of a lifestyle, certainly is not my forte when it comes to the food part. Because of that, Richard Hake is joining us to help us answer correctly your wine and food questions. What we have next is a question from our field trip to the wine festival.
I was wondering, when you get a hamburger and you put cheese and ketchup and onions on it, kind of changes the taste. So what kind of wine would you be looking for then?
She does raise a great point, though. A lot of people like their hamburgers a whole bunch of different ways. You know, there's even those people in New York that have the $150 hamburger. So how do condiments affect what wine you're going to be drinking?
Well, if I can get technical, we like to talk about sauces as the bridge when we're doing wine and food pairings here.
Right.
So ketchup's going to bridge differently than mustard is going to bridge differently than, say, a hamburger loaded with A1 sauce. So if there's more fruit in your sauce, like a ketchup, you want more fruit in your wine. And if there's more acidity in your sauce, like a mustard, you want more acidity in your wine.
Let's just say you had that hamburger with mustard. The higher the acid, would you look for a Pinot Noir, Richard?
I would look for a Pinot Noir, and I would even be daring to say possibly a Chardonnay. It's kind of counterbalance there. Mm. The acidity in the Chardonnay cuts into the weightiness of the burger and works with the acidity of the sauce.
I think the oak in a heavy Chardonnay would also help cut the onion as well.
Absolutely.
So, there we go. We all have different opinions, different ideas, but it all comes down to the same plate. And as we head off to pop another cork, or more likely unscrew another cap, Here is this week's wine teaser. How did green goddess dressing get its name? The answer to this roundabout wine question when we return.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's the Wine Crush.
That is the great Bon Jovi bringing us back from break. But before we went off in search of a corkscrew, we had asked you, how did green goddess salad dressing get its name?
I don't have a clue.
Green goddess dressing. Of course, the goddess needs to be answering this question.
Yes,
anyway.
That's right.
It was created for actor George Arliss by the Palace Hotel in San Francisco while he was performing in a play called The Green Goddess, hence the name. In the 1920s, The Green Goddess was also made into a movie. Once again, our crack research staff of two hamsters and the turkey vulture have been running at high speed on the treadmill to dig up this interesting fact on Mr. Arliss. Did you know he was the first British actor to win an Academy Award?
I did not.
I didn't know they let British actors have an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, your friends here at the Wine Crush bring you information you never even knew you didn't know.
Huh?
All right. Request vector. Over.
What?
We are welcoming back Michael Honig of Honig Winery. I am looking at a press release that says, Michael is also involved in an innovative pilot program that trains yellow lab puppies to detect vine mealybugs in the vineyard. You have bug attack dogs.
Yeah, me too. It sounds good. That is a great project. I'm really excited and proud to be part of that. It was an idea that came out a few years ago. The grapevine mealybug is an almost microscopic little bug, but it has a very specific smell or pheromone. And what the idea is to take these yellow labs, which are amazingly brilliant dogs. They're actually, the dogs themselves have been trained and are being trained for service work, for helping quadriplegic and paraplegic individuals with their lives. And we asked the organization, which is the Assisted Dog Institute, if they thought they could take one of their litters and, you know, train them to on the scent. So what we do at birth is we've had two litters. But both at birth, we take the smell, the scent, we put it in little vials, we put it around the mother so the dogs get used to it. And as they get to about 6-7 months of age, we start hiding the scent in a room and letting the dogs find it. And then you give them praise and treats when they've come up with where the scent's been hidden. And then at about 18 months, we start working them in the vineyards where we spike or we'll take a vine and put the scent right there. And the dogs will be, you know, they'll run through it. And when they come to the vine that has that scent and they smell it, they start barking and they announce that to let us know. We praise them again.
And that's cool. That's really great.
I just have this
vision. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, and it works well for this is not going to be the end all to be all for vine mealybug, but the bug moves very slowly. It's an amazing project, and it's great, and these dogs are stunning. I mean, I can't tell you how incredible these dogs are. They're just so bright, so excited, and it's work. It's working. We've trained. We're on our second litter, and it's been a really fun project.
I can imagine. I just have this vision of driving down Highway 29 and rear-ending somebody because I'm looking out this vineyard with all these fuzzy little yellow lab puppies just running around snapping at things.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it all plays out. But I think the other thing it shows, and that's a lot of what sustainability is, or organics or biodynamic, whatever the word you want to use. And this is a great opportunity and example to show, hey, here's farmers doing, you know, good by society, training animals and not putting out toxic chemicals that might devastate not only their own properties, but the health of their community.
It makes sense. Well, you are listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose. And Michael, I have got a question for you. I am reading the same bit of information that Laura is reading, and there was one thing that really struck my mind, and that is your involvement in the Habitat for Hooters. I think that's something I could really get involved with. Maybe you could offer a little bit better explanation.
You have quite a bit of activity with moles and voles and gophers and little mammals that are crawling around in the soils. So the barn owls, as well as hawks, are amazing in the amount of gophers they need to eat to feed their young. So what we've done is at Honig and around the valley, the individuals have put up a lot of these barn owl boxes because the barn owl, which is a very specific kind of smaller owl versus like the horn-rimmed owls, which are much larger, the barn owl's habitat has really been destroyed. The old trees, things have been taken away from them. So this gives them a habitat, and what they give us is basically
vermin,
a lot of moles. They just eat our problems. So, and the nice thing about this, with the hawks and the owls is you get 24/7 because the hawks feed during the daytime and the owls feed at night.
Oh, cool.
We're just going to start calling you Dr. Doolittle between the hawks,
really,
the hooters, and now
know,
the puppy dogs eating the bugs,
stuff.
Man. You've got this going to be a science.
Yeah, and the owl and the, what else? We have all kinds of crazy things. The thing about the barn owls, if anyone ever goes on the internet and looks up barn owl, the species, they are one of the most beautiful little animals. I mean, it makes you want to cry when you see the little babies. They just have this little angelic face, and they're just amazing. So.
Michael, it has been a joy to have you on the show. Something that we pride ourselves here at The Crush is we are the wine show for every man. And so as we close this, a question I'd like to ask you. For our novice consumer, for the person who is just beginning to drink wine, what piece of advice do you have for them?
Open a lot of bottles.
Amen.
There you go.
And I mean that in the sense that it's...
Not at once, everybody. Just over time.
Over time, yeah.
Yeah, over an hour or so.
And I make that in the sense that if you are typically maybe a beer drinker, and beer is pretty consistent, like Coca-Cola, wine is not that. We all make different styles. We all are making from different regions. And you can have Honig Sauvignon Blanc, you can have Emelo Sauvignon Blanc, you have Frog's Leap Sauvignon Blanc, and these are just from a neighbor within a mile of our property. They're all different.
And I think that's what is interesting about the wine business and consumption is you get to try all these different characteristics and different flavors that are basically from the same grape. And that's why I encourage people always to open as many bottles as possible, not at once.
Not at once. I think that is great advice. Well, Michael, thank you very much for calling in and being part of the Crush. We have been speaking with Michael Honig of Honig Wines. And Michael, it has been a pleasure, and we're looking forward to hearing back from you in a year and see what other kind of pet you get trained around the vineyard to do what other kind of tasks for you.
Thanks, Laura. I'll let you know what the next little task is.
Keep us posted on how the Fuzzy Brigade is going. And when we return, oh, those darling French.
Do tell me.
They're at it again.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide Green Ninjas around the track?
Green Ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not gonna ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
Next week on The Wine Crush, have you ever been confused by wine terms? Kind of like our Rosetta Stone conversation from earlier in the show? Well, next week, we're going to rip the whole cover off. We're going to go behind the scenes and take you into the mysterious world of wine terms, what they mean, where they came from, and why, most importantly, you care.
Remember last week we told you how the New York state legislatures were going to regulate wine ice cream? The law has passed and has been signed by the governor. You now have to be 21 years old to buy it. Well, not to be outdone, our friends across the pond have taken government regulation to a new level.
From the Times of London, the French are about to regulate line dancing.
Yes. You know, that's great. Line dancing usually starts about 9 or 10 o'clock at night after everybody's had 3 or 4 glasses of wine. But tell us about this story.
Absolutely. The country and Western has become so big in France that the country's bureaucrats have decided to bring the craze under state control. The French administration has moved to create an official country dancing diploma as part of a drive to regulate the fad. Authorized instructors who have been on publicly funded training courses will be put in charge of line dancing lessons and balls. Amateur instructors will have to take 200 hours of training under the new rules.
200 hours?
200 hours. Professionals will get 600 hours, including such subjects as line dancing techniques, the mechanics of the human body, and the Texan language. The cost of the course is about 2,000 euros for the professionals and 500 euros for the amateurs will be largely met by taxpayers. So for those of you over there who decide that you want to go and do line dancing, make sure that you have your license after you've had that third glass of Languedoc Rosé before you get up and try and do the boot scooting boogie.
That's great.
And if you are just tuning in to the Wine Crush and wondering why we are commenting on the line dancing licensing in France, absolutely nothing, but any chance I get to poke fun, you know I'm going to find it. Okay, we have a few moments left to fill your glass with wine knowledge, so let's take a few more of your questions. From the Wine Line, we have this question.
I think my favorite wine would be Honig's Cabernet Sauvignon, and I was wondering if, I find that a little bit pricey, about $25 is a little bit pricey to me. Now, I think Bogle Cabernet Sauvignon is almost as good and about the a third of the price. And I'm just wondering, do you know of any others? Could you recommend anything else that would come close to that?
I love both those wines. Obviously, Honig Cab is one of my favorites. But like you, I don't like to spend $25 a night on a bottle of Cabernet to go for dinner. Something along the same region in the same area, I would look for Rodney Strong Cabernet. Rodney Strong has a great Cabernet that's under $11 a bottle, and I think you'll find it approachable, and I think you'll find it on par.
Yeah, and Geyser Peak is a couple of dollars more than that, but I think the Geyser Peak wine is quite excellent. It's got a little bit more complexity to it.
Well, we hope that this week's version of the Weekly Wine Crush has enlightened you as much as it has enlightened us. We had a nice talk with Michael Honig of Honig Vineyards. We got some great salad recipes from Richard Hake with Robert Mondavi.
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit more about ABC, anything but Chardonnay, and found hopefully some new favorite fighting white varietals for you. But there always comes a time where the joy and the knowledge has to end. And so we say to you, just remember, sip socially, drink responsibly, and by all means, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we'll talk more at you next week.